just like that. Water baptism, if you have not been water baptized and you have made a commitment to Christ, give him your life, that is a commandment in the Bible. It won't get you into heaven and it won't keep you out of heaven. It's just another commandment that God says, I want you to do this. It's an outward expression of an inward work in your life. And he says, I want you to do this. And when you do it, you show my death, my burial, and my resurrection that it's a part of your life. It's working inside of you. And so that'll be the last Sunday of the month, April 29th. We'll have it right here. We have a big water baptism tank that we set up. We do it right in the 10 a.m. service. And you know, some people say, well, I don't want to do it in front of everybody. That's the whole meaning of it, that you do it in front of people to let people know, hey, I've given my life to Christ. I'm going to live for him. And I acknowledge the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in my own life, in my own body, and in the things that I commit to. So it's an incredible day. If you're going to be water baptized, if you want to be, there's a sign-up sheet in the back there. We just encourage you to do that, because we're going to give you a T-shirt, and we want to make it a big day. You invite your friends and relatives. I mean, have a party afterwards. I'll speak for just a few minutes, and then we'll baptize. It's such an incredible day here at the City Church. Come on, do you agree with me on that, everyone? It's one of the greatest days. And I know there's a lot of churches and a lot of places, they do them, you know, on an off day. They do them, you know, somewhere else. I just never have felt that. I thought, and I've always felt, it is an important step for every person to make. And I think everyone needs to see it. They need to be a part of it. Your family needs to come, and it's a great, great day. People will give their heart to Christ on that Sunday when they see you do it. There'll be people that will come in, they'll make a commitment to Christ, and we'll baptize them right there. We'll have extra clothes. I mean, if you're going to get baptized, bring your clothes, because we don't have enough for everybody. But we'll have some clothes here. We'll have towels. I had a guy one year, got right in the tub in a three-piece suit. I never baptized anybody in a three-piece suit before or since, but we did it, and thank God. God does some great things in those moments, so make sure you sign up. And then the Sunday before that, we've never done it this way. Actually, my son Ryan will be teaching on the water baptism after the 10 a.m. service, kind of right in between that time. So that'll be done in the Outback. To just give you some scripture on that, teach you about it, and then tell you what to wear, what not to wear. Amen for that. Then we got two trips. They're not in the announcements. They're in the bulletin, I believe, and they're in the Outback. One of them is a trip that we're going to do this year to the Sight and Sound in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We have put together a tour on that. It'll be a first-class tour on a beautiful bus, a coach bus down. I think it's two nights, accommodations, dinner, and everything. The information is back out back there. That's if you just want to go and you just want to take in and enjoy. I've never been to the Sight and Sound. I think I'm going to try to make that happen this year, Patty and I, but I've all just heard how fabulous it is, so I look forward to it. The other trip that's in the back there is a trip to the LA Dream Center. This is for people that you want to go on that first missions trip, or maybe it's multiple ones. You don't want to go out of the country, but you want to stay in America. But when you go to LA, you'll feel like you're in another country, especially the places that they go to. That information is in the back as well, and we'd love just to take a great big group to that. The LA Dream Center is one of the most phenomenal places that helps people all over the world. It is the greatest place in the world for people to go to who have issues with addictions or all kinds of things. God uses them in a powerful way. And if you've never been there, that is a place that you really need to go and visit. Amen? One more thing that's not in the announcements, it's not in the bulletin, it's not on the website. You are the first to hear about it today. Just a few weeks ago, how many of you have ever heard of, he's not that well known, he's struggled a little bit all through life, but He's okay. His name is Dr. Kevin Lehman. Has anybody ever heard of Lehman? He's going to be here on June 2nd and 3rd, this coming June. Dr. Kevin Lehman has authored, over 60 books on family, on marriage, on relationships, on raising children. He's one of the greatest ever, and he's going to be with us. Two events. On Saturday, June 2nd, it's going to be a married couples and engaged couples only. So if you're dating and you're thinking about getting engaged because you want to go to that, you might want to pop the question before that time. I'm not looking at anybody when I say that either. But that's for married couples and engaged couples only. There'll be a dinner in the Generation Center. It's going to be limited to 80 couples. So if you're interested in that, there'll be information this week that comes up on the website and on the Facebook page for you to register. There is a cost to it. I can't quite remember what it is now, but it'll cover dinner. And obviously, Dr. Lehman he's incredible. So there's a cost involved there as well. Okay? Okay? Because we are committed to your family being great. I'm committed to your home being great, your marriage being great. I'm committed to helping you raise your children and do the things that are honorable. I'm committed to that as a church, as the work of the Lord. We're committed to that. And we're going to bring resources and the right people around you on a continual basis to help you do that. Let me just say this. I've met some of the most spiritual people in my life, some of the greatest preachers that I've ever met before in my life go through a divorce. Their children hate them. We're not doing that. Homie, don't roll like that. I said, homie, don't roll like that. We're going to train. We're going to live. We're going to act appropriately. Listen, I don't care if you swing from the chandelier or not, but when you get done swinging, you better get home. You better get up and go to work the next day. You better love your family, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Honor one another. Create God in your home. Do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and I'll help you to do that. I will help you to do that. And you know, while I'm just saying that, if you're going through a struggle in your life and you need help, I'm not a counselor. I'm a pastor. I can help you a little bit. I'll tell you, do these five things. I'm not going to spend all day with you. That's just not me. I'll hang out with you. I'll do things. I'll tell you. We'll talk. You do these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you do these things, life will get better for you. If that doesn't work for you, I know the greatest counselors in the world, I feel, and I'll help you with that. We'll send you there. They'll help you put life back together. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not being spiritual. I got to go to a counselor. Oh, if you just trust the Lord, He'd help you. God uses counselors. Yes, He does. Lord, I just pray for the next few moments today. Help every person. Let this moment together be an experience with You that will bring hope, strength, healing, and great destiny on every life, I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, if you'd like to open it up to Romans chapter 12, I'm going to just be talking from that chapter this morning for just a few minutes. After Easter, we were talking about before, as we were making the plans up to Easter, Palm Sunday, and everything that we did a week ago, what would we follow up with? And we talked about just the title and the thought, experiencing Jesus every day, in everything of our lives, in every moment of our lives. And having this experience is not just for a certain few, it's for everyone. Whosoever will, the Bible says, let him come. It's not for just a weekend, it's not for a service experience, but it's for a daily experience, a daily encounter with Him that will help you and I, and it will grow you and I to be the people that you have been created to be. And we have an accessibility to God every day. I want you to remember that word, that phrase, every day of our lives. We have the accessibility to ask Him to release us into our complete potential. We have the ability to, the accessibility to ask Him to help us into our purpose, into our destiny every single day. And every day you and I live, we make these decisions that move us either closer into the perfect will and the perfect plan that God has for our lives, or we make decisions that either hold us back, keep us hovering in a particular position, or pull us backwards away from it. And we have the accessibility to God every day to move us from a place of just complacency to a dimension of greatness that He has created for us, a place of understanding, a place of having great joy in our lives, a place of anticipation, listen to this phrase, for something greater. And that's not to minimize the greatness of where you are, but I have learned with God as I walk with Him over the years that He places in my heart every day this anticipation that I'm going to experience something even greater, that He's going to release to me a desire, a dream that I've had in my heart. On a regular basis, God is going to do this. This is His plan. And He wants to move us out of this place that maybe somebody here, you're stuck in a place of failure. You're stuck in a moment in your life where things didn't go the way you had anticipated or the way that you had hoped them that they would go. You're stuck in a mistake. But God doesn't want you to live stuck in your yesterdays. He wants to move you into the future, to the experience that you can have with Him every single day that will launch you to His perfect will for your lives. And it happens daily in our lives. Every single day we can have that experience in our lives. Oh, I just want to encourage you today to go on. I came up with another series title this morning. I'm just going to call it Adventures with God. God wants to take you on an adventure. You don't necessarily have to go out of town to have that adventure. You can have it right here this morning. You can have it in your home later. But God wants you to have an adventure with Him that you have never had before in your life. You don't have to wait and just have it when you're born again. You don't have to wait for it when you die. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants to fill your life with these adventures that will launch you and cause you to be excited every day you get up. Does that mean that everything is going to be easy? No. Does that mean that everything is going to be perfect? No. Does that mean that God's going to just lay everything in your lap when you ask Him for it? No. But that does mean that He will take you on a course. He will launch you into a direction, into an adventure that you have never been on before. Amen. I want you to look at this. I want to read this out of, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, just the first two verses out of Romans chapter 12. This is what Paul says. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I love how he says that. Every day, every part of your life. He said, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He says, don't just assimilate into what everybody else thinks you should or where you should go or how you should act. He wants you to be thinking kingdom-wise. He wants you to be thinking, what does God have for me? He wants you to be thinking bigger and more expanse. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Amen. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. This is so incredible because the forces of life, the enemy, whatever you want to call it, will do everything it can to keep you from discovering what God has for your life. He'll want to cloud your perspective and your experience every day. He'll want to keep you from the purpose that God has created you from, keep you from discovering it, keep you from developing and growing, keep you from being the person that he really wants you to be. In fact, when I think about growing and becoming, honey, do you have those other two books that I was going to give away there? I didn't bring them up with me. Ryan, come here. Who here, I want to see people, not just people that like free things. I want to know who avid, you're an avid, man, honey, you're rough on me this morning. You're an avid reader. I want to see your hand. I want to see people who love, I want you to give this young lady right here this book. This is author Jossie Chacko. I'll explain to you later. Who else loves leadership material? I got this broken down. Preacher T.D. Jakes, it's a new book. I want to give this to somebody who feels that right now in their heart. Come on, be bold. Right there. Good. In the same row, you're easy to go. Jossie Chacko was, he spoke at a leadership conference, had a dream to make a difference, and God called him and told him, I want you to build bathrooms in a city in India. I'm pretty sure it was Delhi, where there's no public restrooms. And because of that, you can imagine what the city was like. Yeah. He set out not to build 1, 10, or 5. He built 9,000. See, those are the things that God, if he might put something in your heart this morning, even as we're talking. He may drop something in your life right now while we're talking this morning. Something that God will take you out of mediocre and take you out of just status quo for your life and begin to build something incredible and do something great into you. And if you don't do that, you never step into the adventure that God has set for you. I said it last week that when we obey him and do what he has called us to, then we encounter these moments that God has planned for us. Moments that you would never experience had you not said yes to God. And I've also learned that when I acknowledge him and when I obey him in the smallest of things, hear this today, stop looking for the big things. Stop looking for an experience where you feel, you know, a lightning bolt hit you. Forget that. Start obeying him in the moments when you don't feel anything, when you don't sense anything, but you know God is telling you through his word and through the impression in your heart. When you obey even the smallest of things, he entrusts more to you every day. God loves to see people that he gives a little to. Be great stewards over it, so he can take and give you more and take you higher and take you further and show you more and allow you not only to be impacted, but allow you to impact others. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not just in my presence, but also when I wasn't there, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Today, God is working out a plan inside of each of you to do something incredible so that you can experience God every single day of your life. You don't have to get up feeling empty and feeling lost. You can get up. Maybe you're facing a challenge. Maybe you're facing a difficulty. But I'm going to tell you, when you obey him in the little things, and when you allow him to have a part of all of your life, then something takes place in you. And you have this encounter with God that nothing can take its place any longer. Amen. So I want to give you just some practical decisions that you can do every day that will lead you into that experience with God. I'm not going to be long, but I want you to listen to these. If you take notes, write them down. Number one, give yourself to him. Give yourself completely. Romans chapter 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1 in the New Living, it says, brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God. Not just your intentions, everything. Paul says, give your body to him. because of what he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. Give him everything. Choose to lay your lives down daily for him. I love how he uses the phrase, give your body to him. You'll think, when you give your body to him, you'll think twice before you load up on them Twinkies. Good, Susie. Don't eat no more Twinkies in the name of Jesus. Give your body. Give yourself. Set apart time. Give your life to him. Let him influence you. Number two, don't be a copy when you can be the real you. I love this. You're not like everybody else. You're you. You have been called to be your own you. Unique. Different. Some of you are a little different. A little different. Let God help you discover who you are so you can experience the Christ in you. And when I say different, when I say don't be a copy, I'm not giving people a free pass to be arrogant or belligerent. You know, I've met people all my life, and they treat people mean. Well, that's just who I am. Well, you need to change who you are. Be you, though. Be who God has called you to be. And when you discover you, you're not competing with others to be what you are not. The worst thing you can do is try to be somebody else when you're not that. Be you. Be who you are. And then experience the Jesus inside of you who he's called you to be every single day of your life. Some of you, you know, we were talking this week. I think it was Chris and I were talking about missions. We were talking about different experiences in missions, and we were talking about different people and you know, what they do when they go on a trip. You know, and there's nothing greater than going on a mission trip because it takes you out of your comfort zone. It takes you out of your safety. It launches you into that dimension where things are so different, and you've got to be you. And if you don't be you, you're just miserable. You'll bang your head up against the wall. You know, I know my lane. I know what I'm supposed to do when I go somewhere. I'm not like everybody else. And I don't know, we got on the subject of some. You know, I've traveled with many here on missions trips. I've had some incredible experiences. Some have been a little challenging. Others have been, they've just been great. I'm thinking about Nicole Brill this morning, traveling with her. She's the best person on the plane to fly with. She's just so tiny. You could sit in the seat, sprawl out. She's over there. She's just little. That's my kind of girl to travel with because she takes up only half of her seat. I take up the other half. Praise the Lord. She's good at traveling. She's who she is. I thought about Carol McDermott. I thought about traveling with her. I thought about one of the first times in Ireland. We all stayed in this big house. And I woke up in the morning and the whole house was shaking. I thought, what is that? That's Carol snoring in the house. But I learned something about Carol on that trip, that she'll pray for people and believe God for people. So that's why she's on our prayer team now. Amen. I travel with Chris Busnack. Big Bad Chris. We're walking down a street in Marseille, France. We're inviting people to come. We're witnessing. We look down one alley. It's a rough area. I don't know. I mean, France. Pray for France because it's rough. We look down this alley, and there's this group down there. They're smoking dope. They're drinking. I looked at him, and I said, you ready to go to the edge? He looked back at me, and he says, let's go. You know, some people you want to walk in the darkness with. Others, not so much. I walk with Chris. We prayed for those, and they wanted us to pray for them. But we were talking about Paulie. Paulie is just Paulie. Yeah. Did I ever tell you the time where I went to Ireland with him and he and I shared a room? We ate something earlier in the day, and he wasn't feeling good, and I came back at night, and the covers were over his head. And there, Paulie. Paulie. I thought, my God, he died. I got to tell you, I'm thinking about it. I'm making noise. I'm turning on the lights. Paulie. I'm thinking, I knew he died. I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to get the body home? What am I going to tell the church? That'll be the end of missions for the city church now, from now on, because I took him and fed him something he shouldn't have ate. Now he's dead. I pulled the covers back, looking to see a corpse there, and there's Paulie. Opens up his eyes. He's got earbuds. He goes, what are you doing? I go, Paulie! But you know what? You could take Paulie and drop him in a jungle. Just drop him in the middle of a jungle. You come back a week later, he'll be wearing a toga. He'll have a wrap around his head, and he'll be praying for some guy on a tree somewhere. That's Paulie. Don't be a copy. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Don't be a copy when you can be who God has called you to be. And when you are who God has called you to be, you will experience the true Jesus that he wants you to experience every day of your life. Come on today. Ephesians 2:10 says, you're God's handiwork. You've been prepared by God to do things that he has made in advance for you to encounter, not a copy for you. Number three, allow the change that is needed to come into your life. If you're going to experience Christ every day, you have to allow God to change you. I know a lot of people that talk about change, but when it comes down to them changing, they struggle with it personally. Sometimes people want everybody else to change and thinking there's no change needed for them. Can I tell you something, Bubba? You're the first one in line that needs to adjust your change meter and let God change your life. And accept the change that he has intended for your life. Because when you do, then you experience the Jesus that he wants you to experience every day of your life. It's not easy sometimes. It doesn't come just naturally. Sometimes it's difficult. But Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by your mind being renewed. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. For some of you, because you haven't changed, you've never stepped into the perfect will of God for your life. And when you do that, you see that, you experience it. Stop putting it off. Allow it to come into your life today. Number four, learn to be humble. And I know everybody here has got that down, right? Be humble. Romans 12:3 says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me. This is the Apostle Paul. He knew the power that God had put into his life. And he said, because of that, he said, I give all, not only for me, but I give each one of you the warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Learn to be humble. Because if you're not humble, you miss out on the experience that he wants to give to you in that day. But when you become humble, there is a flow of maturity and spirituality that comes in your life at that very moment. Oh, that's so good. You should amen me on that better than that. James 4:6 says, he gives more grace to the humble. It says, God, he opposes the proud. The literal translation of that God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace. See that word there? God gives when we're not proud. He wants to have you experience something that he has created for you every day. When you lay down your pride, and humility is not a lack of confidence, and it's not a lack of boldness, and it's not a lack of you accomplishing great things. It's humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. I always love that. Number five, learn to use the gifts that God has placed in your hand. Whatever is in your hand, Romans 12:6, 7, and 8. God's given us different gifts for doing different things. He's given some the ability to prophesy, and if you got it, speak it out with faith. He's given some the gift of serving. Serve well. He's given some the gift of teaching. Teach well. The gift of encouraging. Encourage. He's given some the gift of giving. Give. He's given some of you a leadership gift. Give with great responsibility. Some of you have a gift for showing kindness to others. Man, if you walked in the front doors here this morning and Bruce and Peggy were out there, you want to talk about a gift of showing kindness?
Yeah.
And sir, amen. Can we put our hands together for that? And God tells Moses, what is in your hand? What is in your hand today? That's what the Lord is calling you and I to do. Use the gift that he's placed in your hand. What is it in your hand? What has he called you to do? I know people that they have all kinds of gifts. They just keep them all bottled up to themselves. And God wants you to pour yourself out. It's not that you won't have what you got anymore, but when you give it, when he's given you away, you experience life with Christ in a greater dimension. You remember the story of Moses in chapter 4 and verse 2. God says, what's in your hand? Moses said, what do you want me to do, Lord? What can I do? I stutter. I'm old. I'm 80 years old. What can I do? God says, what's in your hand? It's just a stick. Throw it down. He throws it down. It becomes a serpent. He said, pick it up. He picks it up. It becomes a stick again, a staff. The same staff that God said, I want to take you on an adventure. Because when you say, I can't or I'm not able to, you miss the adventure with God.
Amen.
God asked him a simple question. He's been a shepherd for a long time, but he said, I've given you a gift. And over the next 40 years of Moses' life, 80 years old, and he starts doing this. God uses him to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of Pharaoh, to bring and open the Red Sea, to part it, to win a battle with the Amalekites, and to bring water out of a rock. What is in your hand? Remember when Jesus brought 5,000 disciples together, and he says, the disciples says they need to eat, but we don't have any food. Jesus says, what do you got? One of the men with him, Andrew, says, well, I got this boy over here. He's got 5 loaves, and he's got some sushi with him. 2 fishes. Jesus takes it, lifts it up, gives thanks. And you know what he does? He feeds 5,000. You say, I don't have nothing, but what is in your hand? Because when you give what's in your hand, you experience, like they did, a miracle with God that day. Woo! Who am I talking to in this house today? They made history that day. I'm looking at history makers here today. Proverbs 18:16 says a man's gift will make room for him and take him before a great man. What do you have in your hand today? Number 6. This is important. You have to learn, if you're going to experience Jesus every day, to practice godly character. You may have tons of talent, but if you don't have character in your life, it's like a water bucket with holes in the bottom. You're not going to do anything with it. And to experience Jesus every day of your life, you have to have godly character worked inside of you. Romans 12:9. Don't just pretend to love others. Love them. Really do it. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with real affection. Delight in honoring each other. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep praying. Be ready to help. Eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Do you know that's part of your character? You don't want to know an attribute of real character is? That when someone tries to hurt and assassinate you, that you begin to pray for them and show them love? Woo! You know you got character. Where's all my woo-hoos this morning? You know you got character working in you when somebody tries to hurt you and you bless them. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those that weep. And I was thinking about this scripture this morning. It's laid on me in a powerful way. Delight in honoring each other. I thought about Roger and Nancy Martin. I thought about George Forsythe. Guy, are you over 80? Are you 80? Who else is over 80 here? Raise your hand. Somebody point him out to me. So we've got several here that are over 80. They don't need your money. They don't need, you know what they need, and you know what we need to do as a church, and I'm committed to this, and I don't know have all the answer. But Roger and Nancy, George, Guy, and who else had pointed to, we honor you today. We love you. Can we stand up and just acknowledge? Come on, clap your hands. Say, we honor you today. They're in church today. Amen. You're building character right now. Come on. Okay. Sit down just for a moment. That's honoring. And we need to be a church that honors. I was thinking, Roger told me this morning, he said, I told you we'd be at church as long as we could. They're in their 90s. Sorry. It's cold out snowing this morning. Can you learn something from that? George, cantankerous. He hits me with his cane every time he sees me. But I honor him. I honor you, George. And I want that $10 that I loaned you back, too. I'm just joking. I see, I can do that with him. I love him. I love the Guy Young, many of you don't know that when we started here, Guy, he put his life into this place. We need to honor that. I don't want to wait until they're gone and just say, oh, they were nice. Walk by them today. They don't want nothing from you. And don't try to... Roger and Nancy are so frail, if you hug them hard, they'll crack. Just bless them. Just say, we love you. That's all. I'm going to make the last days of their lives and your lives so good that you'll experience Jesus every day because we honor one another. Character. Character. Finish what you started. Follow through on your commitments. Be around people that are going where you want to go. Show up to work on time. In fact, show up 5 minutes early. Come on, all my brothers and my sisters. You wear that cross around your neck and the bumper sticker on your car, and you're rushing in at the last minute at work. Don't do that. Show character by being the first one there. Take your boss a cup of good hot Starbucks coffee. Don't be lazy. Work hard, the Bible says, and serve the Lord. And last, number 7, live your life honoring one another. Live your life that way. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Be an honoring, giving, loving. Let people know they're important. You value them. Practice this in your heart. Treat each other with respect. Let somebody else go first. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. Come on, we're going to live for God every day of our lives today. Amen. We're going to experience Him every day of our lives. Prayer people, just come on down to the front. Close your eyes with me. Bow your head this morning. Beautiful presence of God here to meet you where you are today. Maybe today you're just having a hard time experiencing God every single day of your life. Today, that can all change. You can refresh your commitment to Him. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. That's the first decision and the first step you must make in your heart and in your life. Give your life to Him. Any one of these people can pray with you for that. No, that's not church. That's not organizational. That's your personal life, giving your life to Jesus. And when you do, you begin to experience Him every single day. I want that. Your eyes closed, your heads are bowed. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, my friends today. from the youngest to the eldest, God. Lord, we honor you. We honor you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind today. I pray, God, that you will help every person here experience Jesus every single day. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer today for anything in your life. You're going through something. You need somebody to stand with you. All these folks, they love you. They'll pray with you. Make sure you tell Bruce and Peggy as well on the way out how appreciative you are for them and how thankful you are for who they are in your life. Swing by the Martins and George and Guy and whoever else. Tell them we love them, okay? You need prayer, come on down before you leave.